Coming up on today's Next Fan Up podcast, we're going to be talking about this.
I have no idea who Gino Cappelletti is. He sounds like a type of ice cream, but
we might be talking about this.
Notice he just said more popular. Like, they still are popular.
Like, they get more dates.
Oh, hey. Yeah. Especially when they're freshly sheared.
Could be our last episode ever. It's not. But you get why I'm saying that. All right. Let's just get the show started.
Listen. Hello. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next Fan Up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
But they are who we thought they were.
Oh, it's another exciting edition of the Next Fan Up podcast. I am Pod Vader, joined by, well, currently I'm only joined by three Superfans. We do expect a late arrival coming up at some point in today's show. But let's get through what we got to get through right now with the three guys I've got on the line. Today, we're talking about the all-time greats for each team. So each super fan was asked, not all of them did this, to give us their list of their top 10 all-time greats for their particular team. And we're going to go through that. And you submitted some ideas as well for your teams. You sent us an email, nextfanup@gmail.com. And you also got in touch with us on Twitter at NFU Podcast. And I believe somebody put something on our Facebook page as well. Oh, by the way, that's where you'll see all these lists on our Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/NFU Podcast, or you just search Next Fan Up on Facebook. Our page comes right up. All right, here are the guys that are with us today. And our regular on Thursday is Neil, our Washington Redskins superfan across the pond in Scotland. Hello, Neil.
Hi, Jay. Hello, guys. These lists, these top 10 lists, brilliant. It's been great to reminisce and think back to Washington's glory days, which are sadly well back in the past, unfortunately.
Well, another guy who would have a different type of top 10 list, as his team hasn't been around for all that long, and that's James, our Texans superfan. Hello, James.
Hey, Jay. How's it going today?
It is going. It's going quite well. Do we want to do the whole ankle thing that we did twice with our other guest, or should we pass on that?
Have you rolled the other ankle or come across another injury compensating for your current one?
Not quite yet, although I am starting to feel that hip pain from wearing the walking boot that keeps me off balance. Enough about the ankle.
Are you wearing pads?
I am not
bad
wearing
ankle,
pads.
Bad hip. Are you Bo Jackson?
Oh my God. That voice is Pat Siska. He's our Patriots super fan and resident smartass. Hello, Pat.
Hello, Pod.
We are not going to do the same ankle thing that we've done twice already before the show started recording.
You do like the kid and play version this time? Like, you're gonna like link ankles, hop around?
Oh my God. You can find this podcast on iTunes. Please subscribe. Leave us a review there if you will. That would be very nice and helpful for us. You can also find us, for those of you who don't have an Apple device, on the AHA radio app. That's what we'd like to promote. You can listen to us in car dashboards. Perhaps you have a car that has the AHA radio app right in the dashboard. If you have a Ford or a Hyundai or a Honda, you might already have that ability. So check that out. And obviously, if you have an Android phone or a Windows phone, the AHA radio app is right there ready for you on Google Play. All right. That is the promotion aspect of this program. Let's get down to the nitty gritty. And before we actually get into our lists, I want to talk about how you guys went about making your lists. And I'll start with you, Neil, because you're the regular on Thursdays. So how did you go about making your list?
Well, first of all, thank you for the preferential treatment. I feel great about that. I made my list. Well, I've been watching the NFL since about early 1980s, 83, 84. So I decided early on in making my list to just take away all the guys who played at a time when I didn't see them play. I wanted my list to be of great Washington Redskins players that I should actually say, yep, saw them play, and they were merited. You know, they were worthy to be on the list. That doesn't take away the players who played beforehand, Sammy Baugh and Jurgensen and all the rest of it. They were all obviously great players, but I really couldn't comment on it. I just wanted my guys.
Cool. And Pat, you have a team that's been around since 1960-something. Thank you. I should know that at this point, but, you know. I got a trivia question wrong on a trivia podcast about the Patriots. So, what the hell do I know? How did you go about?
I want to listen.
Trivial Warfare with.
I love Trivial Warfare.
Well, there you go.
Down in Hotlanta. All right.
How'd you go about making your list?
So I do like Neil's approach. It's not one that I took. So I went through and I looked at. Basically, every Patriots player that played for the Patriots longer than just a few years, and I looked at sort of their differential value against the other players in the league, just on an online database, and then I gut checked it and moved some names around or removed some names and swapped in my own guys, but I definitely wanted to get the Hall of Fame players that the Patriots have had that are no longer on the team, or that I should say predate when I started watching football, which honestly, I didn't start watching football until I started playing football, which was in the mid-90s. Even though I could have been watching much longer than that because I'm old.
We're all old, Pat. At least I am. And yeah. James, you have a team that hasn't been around for as long as the Redskins and the Patriots. How did you go about your list?
Yeah, it was looking on our Slack group and people protesting, should this guy be on the list? He was only on the team for maybe half his career or a portion of his career. Basically, everybody on my list, with one or two exceptions, did not spend their entire career with Houston. So with a young franchise, it was in a lot of ways easier to try and find, who were some impactful players, who were some guys that, even if they didn't necessarily have the best all-time stats, at least were foundational players or core players for when the franchise was just getting going.
All right.
That's really interesting, James. I also did a similar thing with mine where I thought, am I just looking for the guys who played the best on the field and were, in terms of longevity, were superb over their careers, great linebackers, whatever. But I added two guys into my list who wouldn't make any list in terms of the performances really on the field in terms of being great players. So it's interesting criteria, Jay, to try to what makes an all-time player. Is it on the field, off the field, this sort of foundation player? Lots of interesting aspects there.
Well, let's talk about your list, Neil. Share who you've got in your top 10.
Okay, my top 10, and I'll do it in an exciting way, Jay, and give you from 10 to 1, so you can
ramp
up the tension. At number 10, a player I was just really alluding to a moment ago, quarterback Doug Williams. Then number 9, I've got offensive tackle Jim Lachey. 8 will be Charles Mann, defensive end. 7, Chris Samuels, a more recent offensive tackle. Monty Coleman comes in at number 6, linebacker for 16 years with the team. Joe Jacoby comes in at number 5. Then the great Dexter Manley comes in at number 4. Our top three is our three most recent Hall of Fame players, and they are guard Russ Grimm, wide receiver Art Monk, and a clear number one, and really a clear number one is of course the great cornerback Darryl Green, who played 20 seasons for Washington.
Where do you think most of the argument lies on your list? Because honestly, you mentioned Doug Williams. I would have Doug Williams on the list. I think he belongs.
Well, hold on. Doug Williams. on the list before, you know, Jurgensen. Man, if I know who Sonny Jurgensen is, he belongs on a list. And what about
Patrick? You're breaking up.
Perfect.
It's okay. It was mostly rubbish anyway.
That's fair.
I would say, I just go back to what I said at the start. I didn't include Sonny Jurgensen, Sammy Ball, because they were players before my time, before I saw them. I only included the players that I've seen. I included Doug Williams because, not so much for what he did on the field, although he did lead us to one outstanding Super Bowl victory, but he was the first black quarterback to win a quarterback, to win a Super Bowl. I think that's important in the history of the game. And I think that alone gets him into this list because I think the effect that he, well, I can't speak really to that, but I would guess for a lot of young black quarterbacks over the years have probably taken a lot from what Doug Williams did in breaking that ground. So that's why he's on my list, because of the impact perhaps across the league and not so much in terms of with the Redskins. He was only with Washington for four seasons. He was a real journeyman, and I think he completed 49.5% of his career passes. So certainly not on that list as a player in terms of stats and longevity, but just for that moment in history, which I think was a vital moment for the league. Jay, going to where you think there are issues in terms of who's on the list, I think perhaps Jim Lachey, offensive tackle, who we got, I think we traded, I'm going to say two first-round picks to San Diego. That may be incorrect, but he came in at the sort of the end of the original Hogs, and was a really top contributor for us for the eight seasons he was with us. Three Pro Bowls, three All-Pro seasons. But he is somebody you might think, well, let's get Mark May on the list rather than Jim Lachey. But he was just a personal favourite at the time. It was a big trade and caught my imagination as a young guy watching the game. Yeah, I just missed Theismann. He was just breaking his leg as I started watching the game. And then we had to cope with Jay Schrader, and I took sort of I blame him for that, for making us have to suffer Jay Schrader over a few seasons.
I was just going to say it's a little unfair that he has several players that played for his team longer than my team has been around.
Jay, can I just add two things about two players who just need a mention on the podcast? I think Monty Coleman I have on the list there at number six. I just loved Monty Coleman. He was not a very good linebacker. He was not a very good safety. He was a sort of hybrid style player. I think he had 17 career interceptions and about 50 odd sacks. But he was just one of those players who probably would not have made a roster on any other team, but he just fitted into Washington, and he became part of the game day ritual. He was just there. He was, I think, you know, I guess most teams will have those players. He just, when he put on his Washington uniform, he just stepped it up and became a different guy and was outstanding. And he played for us for 16 years, a linebacker, and it was always a joy to watch. And the other one is our number one player, who's on there not because he just played 20 seasons at cornerback. I mean, I'll say that again, 20 seasons at cornerback. He was the NFL's fastest man 4 years in a row. And if you want a quick look at how great Darryl Green was, just Google when he caught Tony Dorsett in his rookie season. I think it was his first game. And he looked like everybody was moving at in slow motion, and he was speeded up 10%. It was just an amazing play. He caught Dorsett from behind. I'm sure we've all seen that play, but it's always worth a look again. What a great player and a great man.
He was. He definitely was. James, we'll definitely get to the Texans in a moment, but this sort of leads me into a conversation, and I know, Pat, as I mentioned, I saw you call out Deion Sanders ended up on someone's list, and you're like, he wasn't with that team, and then you corrected yourself, and it turned out that he was with that team pretty much for as long as he was with any team. Deion Sanders aside, we have a player on our team that I was like, well, does Randy Moss belong on this list? I mean, he's going to be one of the all-time great wide receivers. He's going in the Hall of Fame. And he was a Patriot for some time, but does he belong on our list?
So I counted the performance while with the team. So no Randy Moss, no Nick Bonacotti.
Hmm. And what? Why not? I mean, Randy Moss's performance with the team was pretty good.
It was epic. It was amazing. Like, he set a record for touchdown receptions, but for a year, right? And then, yeah, I mean, he had a good run with the Pats. He did. But was it enough to unseat some of the other wide receivers that had good long careers with the Patriots? Like, debatably, but I mean, I'll be honest with you. When I think Randy Moss, I think Vikings. I just do. Mm. So like, he's a Viking to me. And we were fortunate enough to get him from the hapless Oakland Raiders for a fourth round pick. But like, he's not a Patriot.
I would agree there. And you mentioned Bonacani. I can't even say his dang name. Because he wasn't with the Patriots long enough, I think. When I think of him, I think of the Miami Dolphins, not the New England Patriots. Sort of the same as another Raider, Jim Plunkett, who was drafted a Patriot. But ultimately, I think of him as a Raider.
Sorry, guys, I'm going to be very ignorant here, but who's Bianchi Yonki?
Bianchi?
he's a Hall of Fame linebacker, Neil.
Okay.
Played,
must have been before my time.
He was, I believe he was on the perfect Miami Dolphins team, if I'm not mistaken.
He was, Neil, he was, do you remember the Inside the NFL on HBO? He was one of the co-hosts of that before they got younger.
Ah, okay. Okay. Thank you very much. Just reminds me of Mercury Morris. I can't stand him.
Thanks for bringing up that guy.
Yeah. God. Was he on the top 10 for the Dolphins?
I don't know. I'll have to go look. But
I would never ever tire of slapping him.
I think Ron just listed Dan Marino 10 times.
Oh man. All right, Patrick, who are your top 10? And I noticed that you cheated and you made two top 10 lists.
Well, because I think I was the first one to respond back, and I didn't know if we were looking for top 10 all time or top 10 current. So I did both. But now that it's clear, let's do top 10 all time. So at 10, I have Gino Cappelletti. At 9, Raymond Claiborne. At 8, Drew Bledsoe.
Way too low.
7, Stanley. Well, these are all up for debate. 7, Stanley Morgan. 6, Andre Tippett. 5, I have I wrote Bruce Matthews. I did not mean Bruce Matthews. I meant Bruce Armstrong. 4, Logan Mankins. 3, John Hanna. 2, Mike Haynes. 1, Tom Brady.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Bruce Matthews. I'm glad that it's Bruce Armstrong, because that was the one name that I thought was glaringly missing from your list.
Well, and I inserted another team's, you know, Hall of Fame left tackle, or I guess he wasn't a tackle, but a Hall of Fame offensive lineman in its place. So, whoops.
But yes, Bruce Armstrong was there. Now, when I went through my Patriots list, I went through by position, and you know, and I had sort of the same thought about longevity and impact on the team, and there's no running back on this list, and Kevin Faulk was a name that I thought of, and of course the fan favorite Mosi Tutupu, if only because it's fun to say his name, also came across my list. You know, at quarterback, I mean, Bledsoe saved the franchise. Tom Brady's the Hall of Famer with 4 Super Bowl rings. There's no question there. Steve Grogan and Babe Parilli would be the two other quarterbacks that I considered. I don't have any of the wide receivers, and maybe it's because I've got a lot of recency bias when I'm thinking wide receivers. I think Stanley Morgan is definitely an all-time great Patriot. But when we think about some of the other wide receivers on this team, you know, Troy Brown, Wes Welker, Randy Moss, Irving Fryer, those guys all had, I think, a bigger impact than Morgan did.
Oh, I disagree. And again, he's before my time, so I'm not arguing from a real position of strength here. But if you just look, if you look at the numbers and you listen to the guys that talk about, you know, the Patriots over the entire existence of the franchise, I mean, Stanley Morgan really stands out. And yes, there are the Randy Mosses that come in for a spike and have a great season, you know, and you know, you might get a couple of seasons like that from their own guys. And Troy Brown strung it together for a long time, but he was never dominant, right? And, you know, there are a bunch of guys like that. You have a whole lot of B-plus players that had long careers because they played well in the system, but you don't have a lot of guys that were truly independently great players that you would sort of adjust your system around. And Stanley Morgan was one of those guys. Like, he was a rock-solid, like, all around, you know, wide receiver that could just get open. He was a solid route runner. And he was really, really productive for a real long time.
The offensive line, the Patriots have been blessed with offensive linemen, probably not as blessed as the Washington Redskins were. But, I mean, Matt Light, right after Bruce Armstrong, and now Nate Solder, I think, you know, they haven't really lost a lot at that left tackle spot since Bruce Armstrong's career finished. And of course, John Hanna is a Hall of Famer. Interesting that you don't have Richard Seymour, the guy whom I don't believe is necessarily a Hall of Famer. But I'm often told I'm crazy. Yes, exactly. See, this is what I'm saying. So you don't have Richard Seymour on your list. Where's Richard Seymour?
He's not on the list because he got bumped by another wide receiver who's the Patriots' all-time leading scorer because he was also a kicker and racked up a whole lot of points, kicking field goals and extra points. But I couldn't leave Capoletti off the list. But he snuck in there at 10. And I don't think Richard Seymour, as great as he was, I don't think he was better than Raymond Claiborne. So I couldn't put him at 9. Right. And then who am I going to drop down? Bledsoe? Like, so the problem with the top 10 list is there's only 10 guys, you know, right. When you have a franchise that's been around for 65 years, then it's pretty easy to come up with a list of 15 or 20 guys that you think, you know, by their own merits should be on the list. But unless you're Mike Mayock, you got to limit it to 10.
I noticed you have Tom Brady. Interestingly, you've got Tom Brady number one all time, who's still a current player, which is shows you how impressive he is. But you only have a number two in your current list. So I know we're not doing current lists, Jay, but it's interesting that he all time he's number one, but he drops to number two in your current list.
Well,
if you had removed Tom Brady from your all time list, you could have had Seymour in there. I mean, you've got some great players there. Andre Tippett was fabulous, but Seymour, come on.
I love Richard Seymour. Like, I love Richard Seymour, but, I mean, if you want to twist my arm and try and get Capoletti off the list, I'd slip him in at 10, but then you're arguing about taking off our franchise's all-time leading scorer, who was really good at two positions, you know, in replace of a 3-4 defensive end, who was a dominant 3-4 defensive end. And I'm sure James will talk a little bit about the value of that later on. But, you know, I didn't see him as the top 10.
I would have to demonstrate my ignorance and say that I have no idea who Gino Capoletti is. He sounds like a type of ice cream, but...
does. I'm sure Baskin Robbins has a flavor named after him. Yeah.
That was awesome.
I know this is a problem that, you know, you guys have with a long franchise, but Pod especially, I figured you'd be backing, you know, at least one tight end to make that all-time list. I mean, I know your boy Chris Baker never really panned out, but why not Gronk?
Well, I do have, I skipped over the tight end position accidentally. So Gronk made my list, and that was mainly because my son and I were watching the America's Game marathon over Memorial Day weekend, and just watching Gronk, beast mode guys. I mean, it's literally, it's so fun to watch that defensive back try and make a tackle on Gronk, and he literally just throws them off of him with one arm as he continues to bumble and stumble down the field to the end zone. I think Gronk is also deserving to be on the all-time list. Ben Coates received some honorable mention consideration from me as well, as Bledsoe's teddy bear. But unfortunately, I think Gronk overshadows what Coates did. How come you don't have Gronk? Just not long enough yet?
Gronk not long enough yet. Before I'd have Coates, I'd have Russ Francis. Might even have Marv Cook. Mm. Right? Like the Patriots have had some really, really good tight end play. And again, franchise has been around a long time, so you can do that. But, I mean, we're only talking like the last 20 years for those three guys. Gronk is amazing. And, we alluded to the fact that I did two lists here earlier. And, I didn't read through the current list. But, number one on my current list is Rob Gronkowski. Like, he is the best player on the Patriots right now. But that's just right now. And, yeah, he has 65 career touchdowns. That's awfully impressive for this point in his career, but I mean, let's give him another couple of years of solid production before we start bumping guys off the list that put together really long storied careers within New England.
Vince Wilfork received some consideration from me, but ultimately didn't make my list. Willie McGinnis was another defensive player that I considered, and actually I had a tough time when I was looking at the linebackers. Because as you mentioned, Neil, you have those favorites that you just watch, and they're not necessarily all-stars or Pro Bowlers or Hall of Famers, but guys like Mike Vrabel and Teddy Bruschi, I mean, those guys are Patriots through and through. But when you have to narrow it down to 10, those are the kind of guys that end up falling off the list. I kept Bruschi on mine to go along with Andre Tippett. Vrabel, though, just missed. And Michael Haynes. So the interesting story of Michael Haynes. Do you consider him a Patriot? As I consider him more a Raider.
So he won Super Bowls with the Raiders, and that's why people consider him a Raider. But he spent as much time in New England as he did in L.A. or Oakland or wherever he was.
Well, I don't know.
How many of your guys are Hall of Famers, Patrick?
If you include Mike Haynes, too.
Okay. And Bruce Matthews, of course, we can add him.
Yes. Yeah, if I can lay claim to a guy that never actually played in New England, I would. But John Hanna. Mike Haynes and John Hanna are the NFL Hall of Fame guys.
Andre Tippett is also a Hall of Famer, just so you know. So you have three.
Mm. Okay.
Yes, and we should be.
I had Ty Law at cornerback on my list over Mike Haynes, as I feel Law was more of a Patriot than a Jet. Or did he play for?
I'm a Raymond Claiborne.
Well, I mean, Raymond Claiborne. I mean, I still feel Ty Law made a bigger impact than Raymond Claiborne. I mean, it wasn't, those defenses of the 80s weren't exactly things I'd, you know, champion over that 90 defense.
Mm.
The early 2000 dynasty defense. And there were no safeties, although Lawyer Malloy is one of my favorites. Rodney Harrison is probably more of a Charger than a Patriot. Although I believe Rodney still sort of feels more that he's a Patriot than a Charger, which is also interesting. Sure. And then you don't have... Well, you have Gino Capoletti, whom, I get it, but it was a different era. And this kind of goes back to the Matt Chatham. If you haven't heard Matt Chatham talk about players from a different era, just go back and listen to our greatest running back of all time conversation, the Matt versus Matt episode. You can find that in iTunes or on blogtalkradio.com/nextfanup. But Gino was part of a different era.
Talking about Jim Brown being garbage, then listen to that podcast.
Capaletti was a different era. Now, what I think is interesting for Adam Vinatieri is I believe he's technically spent more time now with the Colts than he has with the Patriots. And right. What's interesting about the Patriot situation is Gostkowski, I think, is probably, well, he is. He's the most accurate kicker in NFL history. So which kicker do you take if you even take a kicker? And I don't know if you can take any of the kickers, but Vinatieri won two of those three Super Bowls. And you could argue was technically the reason why we won the third as well. But Vinatieri is got to be on this list, my friend.
No, he doesn't.
I'm gonna disagree and not even respectfully. Vinatieri was with Pod, of course. Yeah. I mean, Vinatieri was a great kicker, but I mean, just you go from Vinatieri to Gostkowski, and you actually get better. Like, you know, that's kind of why it doesn't really hold all that much water to have an all-time great replaced by somebody who was even better.
I don't know if he's better. I would. I think we saw an extra point. Was an extra point Gostkowski missed, a crucial extra point last year in the playoffs? Don't think Vinatieri would have missed that.
This conversation.
Okay.
The last kicker I want to mention is Tony Franklin, the last barefoot kicker in the NFL. He was a New England Patriot. So just wanted to mention that. My official list, in no particular order, by the way, is Brady Bledsoe, Gronk, Bruce Armstrong, John Hanna, Richard Seymour, Andre Tippett, Teddy Bruschi, Ty Law, and Adam Vinatieri. And yes, there's a lot of recency bias in that list. I tried to spread it out, but obviously those are all guys that I watched play and enjoy, except for obviously John Hanna. I did not see John Hanna play, but all the other guys I did watch.
In showing a little like respect to the elderly, can I just throw a couple of stats at you about Gino Capaletti? So you're comparing him to Adam Vinatieri, and I get that because they're both kickers, but Gino Capaletti was a wide receiver that also kicked. Like he also played defensive back. He played 11 years for the Patriots. He's their, he scored 42 touchdowns, right? He retired when he was 37 years old. Like this dude is a baller. He had three interceptions in a single game against Tom Flores, I think, if and when we get the Oakland Raiders guy on the phone. So Capaletti was truly a great football player at multiple positions. Like he was a legitimate wide receiving option that also kicked, that also returned kicks, that also returned punts. Like he did everything. Like if you want to talk about your prototypical Patriots, the guys that do everything, and that's the like that's who you think of when you think Patriots are the multitask guys. Like that's Gino Capaletti. Like he's the ultimate like Patriot that way. I want to move him up from 10 now.
I'm familiarizing myself with Gino right now. Not only a great name for ice cream, but he also played quarterback for the Sarnia Imperials in the CFL in 1955. So another position there for you, Patrick.
I did not know that.
Oh, Gino. And he was the voice of the Patriots for many, many years, which is why I believe he often gets brought up. But I mean, I get it. I get your point. I understand it. I'm not a big Geno fan as I guess the rest of Patriots Nation is. But that again is also probably recency bias. All right, enough Patriots. Let's talk about some other, speaking of recency bias, we'll move on now to the Texans in Houston. James, I'm curious to hear whom you have on your list.
I mean, I'm glad we saved the most storied franchise for last. It wasn't too terribly hard to almost throw out the entire first 4 or 5 years. With the expansion team, we were getting a lot of veterans that were towards the end of their career, a lot of rookies that, David Carr is kind of the prototypical example of why you shouldn't draft a quarterback number one overall when you don't have anything to, you know, any kind of support structure around him. So we'll just get to the list here. Starting at the bottom, this is probably one that I can drop off the list and can make an argument for several others, but I put Owen Daniels. He's kind of become, you know, the fantasy football joke of, you know, everybody has to grab Owen Daniels. He's back in Gary Kubiak's offense, but for several years there with Matt Schaub and Andre Johnson on the other side, I mean, they had a potent 1-2 combination, and that was kind of in the second phase. So if the first 5 years of the Houston Texans was kind of the expansion, cover your eyes phase, the next 5 to 7 years, you know, under Matt Schaub, you know, it was a much more offensively driven team. And so that's how Owen Daniels kind of made the list there. You know, he didn't change the game like some tight ends have, but he kind of came alongside the time when Tony Gonzalez was making a lot of noise as a tight end, as an offensive tight end, when Antonio Gates was making a career as an offensive tight end. So then moving up from there is Donathan Joseph. And there's going to be a theme here of a lot of current players. You know, he's when you're on a defense that has been tops or near the top in the NFL for, you know, the past 4 years or so, by necessity, a lot of the players are also going to be some of your all-time great players. And so Jonathan Joseph comes in at 9. I put Mario Williams. A lot of people associate him with the Bills and kind of the ugly divorce that he's had from the Bills. He played his first 6 seasons with the Texans. The last 2 had some injury problems, but, you know, prior to that, the Texans were initially viewed as stupid as passing on Reggie Bush to take Mario Williams. But by the time that rookie deal ended, I think everybody kind of realized that Mario was the better of the 2 picks. After that, have to have the offensive line respect, and so we put Dwayne Brown up there. Then we have D'Amico Ryans, who is now a Philadelphia Eagle. And then number 5, I put Matt Schaub. He led the team to the first 8-8 season, which again isn't saying much. Then he led them to the first winning season, first divisional championship. He did not get the first playoff win because he got injured on the season that we got our first playoff appearance. And so the illustrious TJ Yates happened to get the first playoff win in team history. After Matt Schaub, then I've got DeAndre Hopkins, Arian Foster, Andre Johnson, and probably no surprise to anyone, JJ Watt at number 1.
How difficult was it for you, James, to come up with actually 10 guys to fill this list?
I'm glad you didn't have a top 15 list. I mean, there were several other players that it just kind of boiled down to, you know, I'm looking at the list that like the Niners put out, or, you know, our Steelers fan had 17 different top 10 lists, depending on, you know, list of top 10 Monday Night Football only players, list of top 10 players that played in the month of October only. So, I mean, it's hard to kind of have a top 10 list. It's like, man, I need to make a case for like Brian Cushing to be on my top 10 list. Or, you know, Owen Daniels, he's not going to make the top 10 list outside of like the AFC South, or other expansion teams. But, so that made it a little more difficult. The other thing that, you know, was tough to weigh in on is, you know, a lot of these players like Arian Foster don't have a very long career. You know, like in Neil's case, he had several players that spent over a decade on his team. And I think the longest serving Texan that I have is Matt Schaub, who had 7 years of service. And everybody wants to kind of forget the last year and a half of that.
2 questions for James, really, with his list. The first one, if J.J. Watt's career ended tonight and he didn't play another down in the NFL, would he still be number one on your list? And my second question would be, Dwayne Brown, I was surprised to see him so low, especially below D'Amico Ryans. I thought he'd be up near the top 3.
So with J.J. Watt, if he did not play another down in the NFL or, you know, got traded to another team, he would probably drop below Andre Johnson. That was probably the biggest struggle right now. Just, you know, where do you put Andre Johnson versus J.J. Watt? And going back to the whole recency bias, you know, I kind of look at Andre Johnson through, you know, rose-colored glasses. DeAndre Hopkins this past year set the franchise record for most touchdowns in a season. You know, Andre Johnson never got above 10, I believe, with the Texans. So once you go back and kind of look at it, you know, you realize that with the amount that JJ has contributed to the team and the impact that he has had in the NFL so far, it's probably, if he's not number one, he would definitely be, you know, 1-2 somewhere in there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I also, sorry, Jay, I don't want to hog the microphone, but can I ask you, James, one more thing? And maybe it's a question for you guys in general. It's about the sort of cultural aspect of the NFL. You lost the Oilers whenever that was, what, mid-90s, early 90s? And they went to, they became Tennessee, I believe. In the city of Houston itself, would the people, if you were asking for the top 10 Houston players of all time, would they include ex-Houston Oilers, or is that sort of wiped from the memory and you only go with the Houston Texans players? I was looking for a Tennessee list, and I couldn't see a Tennessee list. I wanted to see if Tennessee had included any of the previous Houston Oilers players.
So the reason I ended up as the Houston Texans fan, I graduated college and moved down to Houston, as engineers are typical to do at some point in their career. And that was shortly after they had formed as a franchise. And what I had found was that a lot of people who had picked up football in kind of the mid to late 90s gravitated more towards the Houston Texans. Everybody who had been a longtime football fan were either Cowboys fans, which they were in the minority, but they followed the Tennessee Titans pretty religiously, especially in those first couple expansion years when things were really bad. You know, to kind of answer your question, if you ask somebody in Houston, you know, that was a Texans fan, you know, who their favorite Texan of all time was, they would not include the Oilers in that. Now you'd find plenty of people in Houston though that would say, well, do you want my favorite Titan or my favorite Oiler? It would be this person, because that's, you know, who they've always rooted for, and they wouldn't necessarily, you know, they'd know the names of the Houston Texans, but that wouldn't be who they were rooting for.
Johnny Unitas wants nothing. Well, he's dead now, but when Johnny Unitas was alive, he wanted nothing to do with, you know, Indianapolis. Like, he was a Baltimore Colt, so he would affiliate himself with the Ravens rather, because they were in the city where he played, rather than the Colts, because that was the logo that he wore. You know, so it's like, you can definitely see it going both ways. And you know, in terms of like former Houston Oilers, I've already claimed Bruce Matthews, so you can't have them.
And I can tell you, as I had family that lived in Tennessee for quite some time, that the Tennessee people haven't really taken to the Titans as their bigger University of Tennessee fans than they are professional Tennessee fans, which is quite odd. There are a few Titans fans, and obviously we have a Titans super fan who did not do his homework. But I would be interested to see if there was a Tennessee Titans fan from Tennessee, if they would mention Houston Oilers. And my guess would probably be only because they were assigned to, not because they actually followed the Houston Oilers before they were Tennessee Titans fans. It's a great question, though, Neil. Never
even
thought of it.
It's such a fascinating thing. It's such a fascinating thing, Jay, because it goes against everything that we grew up with in this country in terms of our, well, I'll say soccer teams here. It's just this changing cities thing is just, I find it very difficult to understand how that can happen. If it happened here, they wouldn't be allowed to happen here. You know, if Liverpool or Manchester United wanted to change cities, it just wouldn't happen. It just would not be allowed.
It's too bad that we don't have Justin with us this week. He could tell us if he preferred the AFC Seahawks or the NFC Seahawks.
Sure. That's fascinating stuff. Thanks for that.
You're welcome. All right. We were hoping that Monty, our Raiders super fan, was going to be able to join us along with our special guest, Jason Fitz, who is a big Raiders fan. Unfortunately, Jason got caught up in flight delays, so he's currently on an airplane, and Monty got caught up with actual work, stupid day-to-day jobs. How dare they interfere with podcasts? So let's quickly go over Monty's list here of Raiders. And he also tried to cheat and made a longer than 10 list, but he put them as honorable mentions. Interestingly enough, Jim Plunkett, who I had already mentioned, is on his honorable mention list. And Bo Jackson, one of the guys who was part of the greatest running back of all time conversation, on his honorable mention list. His 10 is Dave Casper, Ghost to the Post. His 9, Willie Brown, 12 seasons, 30 years as an executive and assistant coach. His 8, Ted Hendricks, Raider legend, has it that he had strippers in training camp with a sombrero and lemonade. Sounds like a lot of fun. 7.
Is that pre-Gronk?
It's clearly pre-Goodell, that's for sure. 7, Fred Biletnikoff. Interesting that he's so low. 6, Cliff Branch, 14 seasons, won 3 Super Bowls, first team All-Pro in 4 consecutive seasons. 5 is Ken Stabler. 4 is Howie Long. 3 is Marcus Allen. Interesting, he has Allen over Bo Jackson. 2, Jim Otto, Art Shell, Gene Upshaw. What? Hard to separate these three dudes, but together they dominated the league. That's interesting. And his 1 is Tim Brown, the 3 all-time receiver in NFL history with, here we go, Jay Schrader, Steve Berloin, Todd Marinovich, Donald Hollis, Brian Greasy, Vince Evans, Billy Joe Hobert, David Klingler, Wade Wilson, Bobby Hoying, Marcus Tuiasosopo, Rick Meyer, T. Martin, Rob Johnson, Brad Johnson, Chris Sims, Jeff Hostetler, Jeff George, and Rich Gannon. 7 offensive coordinators, 5 head coaches. That's pretty amazing. That might be a fun project to do. Let's find the one player who's played. Let's find the one wide receiver who's played with the most quarterbacks. I think we found him.
No,
I just like the Todd Marinovich.
Oh, Moss played with 20. Pat, what did you say?
I like that Todd Marinovich was mentioned in his list of top 10.
Sort of not directly, but yes.
Are we talking good wide receivers that have played with the most quarterbacks? Because I'm sure there's a Cleveland Brown out there that's already got like 15.
Ooh, that's a good point. Good point. By the way, we asked for submissions from the fans via our email, nextfanup@gmail.com, and of course on our social media. Don wrote us in his top 10 Ravens of all time, and he did put them in order. Although I'm guessing he gave them to me in inverse order, so I'll start from the bottom and work my way up. His 10 is Ray Rice for the Baltimore Ravens. Next is Marshall Yanda, Todd Heap, Jamal Lewis, Haloti Ngata, Terrell Suggs, Joe Flacco, Jonathan Ogden, Ed Reed, and Ray Lewis. So, you know, when you brought that up, Neil, about teams and if they went back, you know, the Ravens obviously were formerly the Cleveland Browns and did not mention any Cleveland Browns per se there.
It's a good list, isn't it? It's a good list for such a short period of time. It's top 3, all Hall of Famers. Pretty good. Ogden, arguably 1, no?
Over Ray Lewis? I don't know. I think if you think of the quintessential Raven, it's probably Ray Lewis or Ed Reed.
Like murder implications is a requirement for all-time Raven? Like, that's what we're thinking?
Man. Allegedly so.
Right. Well, no, he went to prison, but like, okay.
Ray Lewis did not go to prison. He was held for questioning.
Yes, he did. No, he did not. Ray Lewis went to prison for obstruction of justice.
I
don't know why the four-letter network refuses to acknowledge that, but that's a subject for a different podcast.
This will not.
Leon.
Yes, as much as I would love to take part in that conversation, I will move along here to another social media. This one is from Ron. He sent in his top 10 Minnesota Vikings in no particular order. He has Fran Tarkenton, Alan Page, Carl Eller, Paul Krause, Chris Dolman, Chris Carter, Randall McDaniel, John Randall, Randy Moss, and Adrian Peterson. Now, Davey, our Viking superfan, did include a list. He has Randy Moss as his number 11. What do we think of Randy Moss? Does he belong in the top 10 Minnesota Vikings of all time?
The more I think about Randy Moss, I don't think about him very often, but when I do think about him, I do think there's an argument there to say he's the greatest wide receiver of all time. We talked about Tim Brown having 19 quarterbacks throwing him the ball. I think Moss had 20 quarterbacks throwing him the ball. Jerry Rice had, what, two Hall of Fame quarterbacks throwing him the ball? Randy Moss, he certainly should be number one on that. I don't know. Randall McDaniel was a pretty amazing player, as was Chris Dolman, but Moss is up there.
Moss was like a transcendent talent, but his rookie year was amazing, like amazing. And he's throwing it together with just nobody throwing the ball. And I remember the time too, I think it was Susie Colbert was like going off about, you know, how the Vikings were brilliant as an organization because they kept dusting off these old quarterbacks from the scrap heap. And one after another, year after year, they'd bring in a new journeyman backup, like garbage quarterback who would have a Pro Bowl caliber season. And they're like, oh, how do the Vikings keep doing it? And I'm looking at the field. I'm like, they keep doing it because they're just finding a guy that can throw the ball deep to and let Randy Moss go get it. Like, there's your constant. Like that guy's amazing. And there's Chris Carter on the other side of the field. It's like he made Pro Bowls, like Pro Bowl players out of like Jeff George and Dante Culpepper. And I hate to associate the two of them together, but I just did. And, you know, Randall Cunningham, like, who was way past his prime. And, you know, Brad Johnson, like guys that were worthy of being in the NFL, but certainly not starting caliber quarterbacks. And they made them, he individually made them great. Like, that's the kind of player that Randy Moss was with the Vikings. Like, just true. He turned Tom Brady into a deep ball thrower.
Well. Yeah.
Anyway.
I think the closest thing to a trash against Tom Brady that you've ever come close to saying, Pat.
Put it on the board. That's the way I feel.
It is pretty well known. Tom Brady is not a deep ball thrower. Not to turn this back into the Patriots, moving up back to the Vikings. Davey's list, number 11, Randy Moss, 10, Chris Dolman, 9, Ahmad Rashad. You cannot have Ahmad Rashad above Randy Moss. That's just simply a no-no.
But are you 8, hosting reality TV? Then you might.
8 is Randall McDaniel, 7, Paul Krause, 6, John Randall, 5, Adrian Peterson, 4, Jim Marshall, 3, Chris Carter. Actually, he has 2 threes, Chris Carter and Carl Eller, 2, Alan Page, 1, Fran Tarkenton. He did manage to get in more than 10. How dare he? And one last Minnesota Viking fan. This one came to us on Twitter, at Clay Go. His list, Fran Tarkenton, Ron Yari, Alan Page, Chris Carter, Chris Dolman, Adrian Peterson, Randall McDaniel, Paul Krause, Randy Moss, and Kevin Williams. So it's always interesting to see the multitude of lists that can be created by fans of the same team, and they're always going to come up with different players. I'm not going to share any more of these lists. I will tell you that the lists that were created by our super fans, we're going to post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/NFU podcast. You can, of course, search Next Fan Up while you're on Facebook. Our page should come right up and you can check out all those lists and then write your own list in response. You know, argue with our super fans. They're not the know-it-alls. That's for sure. I can attest. And we want to hear from you. You can obviously send us an email, nextfanup@gmail.com. By the way, we were not nominated for a podcast award. Very disappointed about this. But there were quite a few shows that I'm very happy were. And I will tell you, in the sports category, the Fantasy Footballers is the show that I think is most deserving of the award. It's an independent podcast, and they do a fantastic job. If there was any show out there that sounds most like what I was a part of at the 06-010 for the Fantasy Focus, it would be that show. And since our show won multiple awards, I fully endorse the Fantasy Footballers, and they are not a Blog Talk Radio show. So, it doesn't even have anything to do with business. I just like their show, and I'm fully endorsing them. I will allow you guys to throw your support behind any show that you wish. That's what I thought.
Personally, I hate them all. Ours are the best. It's a total disgrace that we weren't nominated. America should be ashamed of itself, and yeah, there we go.
Maybe we can win a Scottish podcast award. Is there such a thing?
Okay, you've got it. Congratulations.
Oh, yes. I love it. We're award winners. This is fantastic.
They don't mess around in Scotland. I like that. Just right to the point.
The trophy is a sheep wearing a kilt.
Oh.
Hey. And you'll find the sheep are more popular in Wales than in Scotland.
Fair enough.
Notice he just said more popular. Like, they still are popular.
It's good. Like, they get more dates.
Oh, hey. Yeah. Especially when they're freshly sheared.
Oh, man. What has become of my life? Hey, division previews are coming up, ladies and gentlemen. The AFC South will be the first division preview that you're going to hear. And then every other division will be featured at least once through the month of June. And we will most likely have to update all of those previews at some point during the month of August as the preseason begins and players start getting injured. It's going to ruin everything that we do during the month of June. But hey, you want a preview, we're going to give you one, and we're going to give you one for every single division in football through the month of June. So be prepared for that. For Patrick, for Neil, for James, I am merely Pod Vader. I will leave you with Jeff Fisher there. Yeah.
Well, I think we learned today that, you know, this game is four quarters long.
The NFL. Ah, shoot. Well, we're going to have to take a break until that phone stops ringing. I could hobble over and hang up that phone.
Sounds like a lot of work.
Guys.
Does sound like
Patrick,
a lot of work.
Jay?